I'm going to incorporate the words of this song into the lesson instead of just reading the words. I do not feel adequate to preach this lesson because I have no secrets to share about dealing with suffering. When I sing the opening words of this song, day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. These are not the words of a braggart. The strength I find does not make me feel strong. It enables me to survive, to get by. The grace of God, which was sufficient for Paul, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, did not make him well, did not make his affliction go away. The words of this song are what I strive for, not what I have accomplished. 2 years ago in May, Sandra and I went for a follow-up of a mammogram and of biopsies which had been done on both her breasts. She had had lumps before, but there had never been anything really serious, and there was no history of breast cancer in any of her relatives. So before we went into the surgeon's office, we said, when we get through, we will treat ourselves to a Dairy Queen. There was a Dairy Queen office, a Dairy Queen place, just right up the street from the surgeon's office. So we will treat ourselves to a Dairy Queen if there's nothing wrong. So we went into the office. The surgeon said that the biopsy on the right breast was benign. But then he dropped the bombshell. The lump in the left breast was malignant. Horrible word. Malignant. When we came out of his office, Sandra commented in a wry sort of way, "Well, sun is still shining. But we didn't go to Dairy Queen. The sunshine could not take away the cloud that was upon our hearts. A lumpectomy followed, and the prognosis seemed good. 37 radiation treatments followed, with several high concentration treatments at the end. As Christmas approached, Sandra was not doing well with her energy and with her breathing. It's quite obvious that she was not well. As the year wore on, the new year wore on, fluid gathered round one lung. We had to go and get that drone off. She also had a heart stent. The fluid came back almost immediately. It was drawn off again, only to return almost right away. And her body was retaining fluid, especially in her legs. She began to have to use a walker and could not stand up, but with great difficulty. I began regularly helping her to stand. And the way I would do that is I would come immediately in front of where she was sitting. And I knew how to do it. So you get up close to the person. You reach down and you reach around their body and they reach around your body and then you raise your legs and you help them stand up. So many times I would say, you know, this is the perfect position for a hug. And so we would turn it into a hug. After a miserable summer in August, we went to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. Even the first day at the clinic brought disaster. A heart block, not a clot, but a heart block that almost took Sandra's life and required, over a few days, a sophisticated pacemaker to be installed. The fluid continued to be a problem. She suffered much. After a couple of weeks with no improvement, we transferred her to a rehab facility near Mayo. I just did not feel that I could take her away from Mayo. I felt like we were going to need them again. My wisdom was justified. After only a few days at the rehab home, we were calling it, so as to be positive, she began to have great pain in her upper abdomen and was immediately taken by ambulance back to Mayo, back to the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. Tests eventually showed that she had a perforated gastric ulcer. The surgeon said it was the biggest one he had ever seen a patient survive. A very few days after that procedure, Sandra lost her voice. And she also lost her wonderful mind. Except for brief interludes, though conscious, she did not regain her faculties. I felt like Mayo had done all they could do. So we brought her back to Dade City to a nursing home there, and were trying to take care of her. That was where we lived, where we had moved to 4 years ago. On Sunday morning, September the 4th, I preached the first lesson I had preached in several weeks. I was invited for a quick lunch at one of our families, but I was very eager to get to the nursing home. That afternoon, Sandra's condition rapidly began to deteriorate, and she was taken by ambulance to the nearby hospital, Pasco Regional. She was in great pain in the upper part of her abdomen. I was thinking, oh no, it's the gastric ulcer, something going wrong with that. But she was in great pain. So I asked for medication for pain, and she was given a shot of morphine. If you know anything about such circumstances, you know what was calculated to happen when she was given that shot of morphine, and yet she had to have something for the pain. So the surgeon asked me and my daughter, Laura, to step out of the room for a moment so that he could do a further examination to see if there was anything else going on in the abdomen. Within a couple of minutes, no more than a couple of minutes, he called me, went out to the waiting room and called me and my daughter into a room and told us that when he started to examine her, she stopped breathing. Immediately, I asked to go in. And when I saw her lying there, I knew my baby was gone. until I die, I will not forget the look on her face. Now, how does one cope? How does one cope with that kind of loss? When the other half of your life, the other half of your heart is gone, what do you do? He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. In the years that I have dealt with sick loved ones, I have not asked why my loved ones died. That has not been my question. In the circumstances that I have dealt with in loved ones when they were sick, I have come nearer asking why they could not die, because I have seen them suffer. Why could they not die in the face of suffering? I believe that Jesus does care, and that the heart of God is kind beyond all measure. We must answer Satan's question, does Job fear God for naught? Yes, we serve God for naught, in the sense that God does not have to buy our worship. He does not have to buy our reverence, our praise. Satan's question was for Job to answer. It is for us to answer also. Are we faithful only if God keeps us from all harm and suffering? Then we have to answer Satan, yes, I will serve God, but only while he keeps me well supplied with all blessings and shields me from all calamities. On the other hand, if we allow God to answer the question, does man serve God for naught? Then God answers the question, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's sake, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. We answer that question. I sought to prepare Sandra spiritually to be ready to meet the Lord. And we had of course, emphasized those things all of our lives, but there is an added urgency when you are facing the imminence of death. So I sought to prepare her. I was very conscious of that. I wanted her to be prepared spiritually to be ready to meet the Lord. At times when she was at a low ebb, and there were a number of times that happened, I recited the words of the song, O come, angel band, come and around me stand. O bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. I helped her say the 23rd Psalm, which she got to where she could not recall. Now, I read numerous passages from the New Testament that give us assurance. The most precious bestowment of the Father is the hope that He has given me for her spiritual destiny. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy word. That's the point. Every spiritual song I sing reminds me of the blessings she has. Nearer, my God, to thee. Only a shadow between. And there proclaim how great thou art. For nearly 50 years, each night, I prayed for her that God would bless her. You could say she was at the top of my prayer list. And we prayed together. We prayed together every night we were together. It is so strange for her not to be the first on my list to pray for. I kind of got into the habit. But it wasn't just a habit. But I do not pray for her now. She does not need my prayers now. I thank God for His mercy and express my fervent hope that she is there with Him and Jesus, but I have nothing to pray in her behalf now. I have learned much about prayer, but I am not an expert. I do know that the idea that if we pray fervently enough and long enough, we can avert any tragedy is not true and is harmful because it can cause disappointment that can shake the very foundations of faith. There is one hope. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Anything I pray for consistent with that hope, I have every right to expect God. I have every right to expect God to answer. And He has answered my prayers about many things in my life and has granted my fervent prayers about Sandra on numbers of occasions. Pardon me. But it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And this time God chose to answer my prayer by blessing her, by taking her to be with Him. And sometimes we have to understand that's the way God blesses us with regard to a loved one that we're concerned about. Sometimes He takes that loved one to be with Him. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, whose name is Counselor and Power. There are many little things that have been a comfort far beyond what a mere recitation of them would set forth. I believe that the Bible teaches that God has blessed the human family with miraculous blessings, But I also believe that the great majority of our blessings are provided by His gracious providence. That He has programmed so many of those blessings into His providence. The scriptures teach that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom can be no variation, neither shadow that is cast by turning. Whether it is miraculous or not, it is a blessing from God. When Israel reached the promised land, the manna, a miraculous blessing of sustenance, stopped. It was replaced by the fruit of the land which God had promised to the fathers and had now given to the Israelites, a providential blessing. Joshua 5 and verse 12. But it was nevertheless a divine blessing. And in view of that wonderful passage in James 1:17, we need to look at every good thing that happens to us as a blessing from God. Scarcely a day comes without something to lighten the load. It may be that the sun comes out as if determined to shine in every corner of my heart. Many times a card has come telling of something that Sandra and I did, or that she did, or that I did, and the difference it made in people's lives. What a wonderful solace that is. Not more than a day or two after Sandra's death, I dreamed of her. Dreams tend to be enhanced by memory, but I don't think I have enhanced this one. She was standing a few feet away from me, wearing a shawl. The shawl looked like it was made of a soft material and was a reddish brown plaid with rectangles of dark blue. It was wrapped around her body in such a way that it came around her shoulders and formed a hood for her face. I did not see her face clearly. She said not a word. She came up to me and I gently wrapped my arms around her. Her arms remained covered within the shawl, and she did not put her arms around me, but curved her shoulders to fit into my arms about her. And I felt her body within my embrace, with the same reality that I have experienced many times. Then it was gone. I do not believe that God communicates with dreams today, but I consider my having that wonderful dream a blessing of great comfort. Such things as that can be brought out again and again and savored in the memory. One of the things that sustained Paul was the work of the gospel. The work of the gospel. And he said that he expressed the idea that no matter what circumstance he was in, the work of the gospel brought him through, gave him something important to do, far more important than whatever was happening to him. Therefore, he could go on. Wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, even as we have obtained mercy, we faint not. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 1. One thing that is vital to me is to have something to do each day, a reason for living. And the work of preaching the gospel and studying the Word of God gives me that. Moreover, it is a great comfort to me to know that Sandra would want me more than anything to continue my work. It gives me pleasure to think that she would like the classes that I teach and the books that I write. I continue to rely on my knowledge of her thinking to guide me in various situations. And in this way, her presence is still with me, encouraging me to go on with my life and my work. One of the things she did in connection with the commentaries, I've written one on 1 and 2 Samuel. I'm now engaged in working on 1 and 2 Kings. In order to save me a little bit of time, she entered the Septuagint version in English. I make an interlinear of the text that I study. I have the American Standard, I have the King James Version, I have the Septuagint Version, I have the Dead Sea Scrolls as they apply, and she helped me. So I said, okay, you can enter the Septuagint Version in English. So she entered it, the interlinear. So every time I read that now, it's like, and sometimes she'll have a note there. Well, that's like, she being dead, yet speaketh. When faced with such a tragedy, such as my loss of Sandra, one of the important things to understand is there is no pill one can swap to make things better. No how-to book one can read that will take away the emptiness and the sorrow, the loneliness. It is a thing that must be suffered with patience. There has to be time for life to be painfully adjusted to a new schedule, seeking to fill in the gaps that have been left. Loved ones, kindness from others, their gratitude, all help. But in the end, the loneliness must be endured. Till then, I have the work of studying, teaching, and writing to accomplish the task to which Sandra and I have already devoted years and years and years of our lives. I console myself that when I reach the end of my life, I shall see Sandra again. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take, as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. Let us stand and sit.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart kind beyond the measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Loving me is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest.
Every day. Himself is near me,
My triumph has begun.